What up, Long Beach? We are reloaded for another episode of Sports Night here at GazetteSports.com. This is Long Beach Sports Talk Radio, just like at Gazette Sports and GazetteSports.com. We are bringing you your local Long Beach athletics. And as always, it's the three amigos ready to get at you. I am co-sports editor JJ Fiddler, to my left.
Mike Garabasio, to my right.
Far right, Tyler Hendrickson. I also have a long last name.
Couldn't do anything at GazetteSports.com or the Gazettes without our fine list of sponsors, though.
Obviously, up top, Naples Rib Company, the sponsor of everything we do. Just below them, our silver sponsor, McCarty's Jewelry, bringing the gold since 1932, and the Los Alamitos Cardiovascular Team.
And if you want some help savings, let him help you save. Kerr Jones, State Farm agent, and of course, Powerhouse Fitness. Get in great shape and save your life potentially by getting out there and getting fit, y'all.
Get yourself your business on that exclusive list. Hit the contact button at the top of GazetteSports.com. Leave a comment. We'll get to all the other things you can do to get involved at GazetteSports.com in just a minute. But every week, we're doing this new show this year where we pick three different topics to discuss at length here at Sports Night. We will be talking about Long Beach State's local recruiting philosophy, what's wrong with it, or why it's not working. And we will also be breaking down the local football teams in a very interesting way that involves NFL head coaches, so make sure you stick around for that. But first and foremost, our top headline of the week is the never-ending, it seems, discussion about public and private high schools in Southern California, the CIF, and what can be done to make it either A, more fair, or B, better. And why would we want it to be more fair or better? Well, we've talked about it, like I said. We've written stories about the Moore League maybe leaving the Pac-5. A lot of that has to do with the private schools. We even did a story about it last year. But we put our resident stat expert, Mike Statabasio, to kind of break this thing down before we talk about what can be done in the future.
Well, I think it's important before we start the conversation to make sure everyone agrees basically that something is broken or not working. What we've essentially seen in terms of the way money is being spent is that high school sports in Southern California, at least, are sort of turning into a college thing where there's the haves and the have-nots. Obviously, high school is sort of supposed to be isolated from that, in my opinion, especially with the philosophy of a public education, et cetera. But we had a $60 million football stadium built in Texas this year for a high school football team. And then we see things like in the Trinity League. I think the Trinity League you can look at is kind of the nexus of this whole argument. That's where Mater Dei is. That's where Servite is, Santa Margarita, Bosco, all those schools. And we were just looking, Tyler and I were going through the rankings, and it was like unbelievable. Five of the six Trinity League teams are either ranked in the Pac-5 or also receiving votes. And the team that isn't is Servite.
Yeah.
Which is the team that sort of kicked off this spending war once they decided they wanted to compete with Mater Dei. This is a league where we have confirmed reports that some video guys are making as much as $60,000 a year. Five of the six head coaches are making six figures. Most of them don't teach. They just coach full-time. And that's where you really start to see a distinct haves and haves not and have-nots line that really I find kind of disturbing.
Now that's a huge discrepancy, like between what most public school head coaches get paid.
Well,
because not everyone just knows people's salary. It's not like the professionals or
college. Coaches that don't teach, but it's because they aren't even full-time coaches or teachers.
Mike, you mentioned the fact that some of these coaches have guys that are just doing the video for them. Jason Brown, a walk-on coach at Cabrillo, when he arrived there, the big deal was that he just got video editing equipment.
Right.
Not even a guy to do it. They just got the equipment, and
that was
huge.
And it was a huge deal. So what we're looking at in the Trinity League right now, J. Sarah 5-0, Santa Margarita 5-0, Orange Lutheran 5-0, Mater Dei 4-1, Bosco
with a loss to Narbonne.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Bosco 5-0, but with four forfeit losses. We don't particularly care about anything but on the field results, obviously. And then Servite 2-3, really bring it. Servite, that poor undersized, underfunded, non-juggernaut of a football team. So that's kind of where we're at. It has reached a point. CIF Commissioner Rob Weigod, who's a Long Beach guy, has always kind of pushed it since he was appointed commissioner last year. He's pushed the idea that there really isn't a disparity. That if you look at the number of championships won, it's about equal. Public schools do have a legitimate lot of advantages. For underfunded private schools, the fact that they charge money to their students is a hindrance to them if they can't offer athletic scholarships and things like that. But it's clearly moving to a point where some people are spending so much money that there is a problem. He's formed a committee with some of the key Trinity League members of their administrations, a private schools committee, to try and get not necessarily oversight, but some kind of a dialogue and an input on what's going on, because the private schools and the CIF have never really gotten along, and they're trying to change that. But I think that's sort of a signal. This is something that I think we all look to where this could be in 10 years, and it kind of turns our stomach a little bit.
Now, to be fair, Wygod's point is that across all divisions, the public-private school discrepancy isn't really there.
Right.
But what we have always been saying is that the private schools aren't trying to win the Division 7 championship. It's
right.
One A, one double A that
right.
they're really, really pushing forward. And it, why it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's the top levels where they want to compete. Despite the smaller enrollment sizes, they can kind of – it's easier for them to pick their athletes. The open transfer rule, I think we're going to have to see how in the next couple years that impacts things. But JJ is exactly right. You can look at all the championships and say, yes, this is kind of equal. But if you look at the Pac-5, which is Division I football.
Which is the highest of the high. These are the kids that are mostly going
D1. In the
right.
nation.
That's where you
Pac-5
is
one of the best
in
the nation.
Without question.
Right.
That's where you see – oh my gosh, you know, this is unbelievable. Of the 14 schools that are ranked, the only public schools are like Mission Viejo.
Uh-huh. So what are the options?
So, the other thing, they do a Commissioner's Cup for best across all sports teams. I think they've been doing it for 15 years. Poly is one of two public schools to ever win it. Okay, if you look at excellence across all levels of sports when you're putting money in all levels, just two public schools have won it a total of two times, and it was Poly, and I forget the other one, but it was certainly in an affluent era. It's kind of like we talk about Mission Viejo as being a public school in name only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not an inner-city school. Poly's the only team to get up to that level, but other than that, Santa Margarita, Loyola, teams that are spending a lot of money on their athletics programs, and I think we're going to continue to see that.
So what are those
Paso Robles, wasn't it?
It was Paso Robles, you're right.
Well, so what are the options going forward here?
Well,
what can really be done?
So this is the question I want to pose to you guys. So say, you know, I win $1 trillion and I buy everything in California, and I say to both of you, I say, you know, you're commissioner tomorrow, and you're the first thing you're going to do is fix this. What do you do?
Yeah, I don't even know what my options are. Do you know what I mean? This is so unprecedented across...
Well, just but pretend you've got all your options
football.
On the table.
Well,
we're
first I give Rob Wygod a golden parachute
for
taking
sure.
his job.
Absolutely.
Obviously, that's respect.
Well,
but,
and none of us would try and sit in Big Rob's seat. I think we all know that.
I think, yes,
exactly.
I think we
it's all
agree
love.
With that.
It's all love.
No disrespect.
But we're talking about all levels, and I think the true answer is that you have to treat each sport differently. I know that's not what CIF wants to do, but cross-country can't be treated the same as football, I feel like.
But so what do you do? I mean, just saying all options are on the table, I see what you're saying, you want to do something specific, but
yeah.
What do you want to do for each sport? I mean, what, how do you get your hands in there and fix it?
Well, I think the key, especially for football, is either, you know, there's options. It's weird. I don't know what the jurisdiction and what the CIF is allowed to
but
do.
But that's what I'm saying.
You
say you can do anything. I mean,
okay.
I can tell you what, you know, they can't do that because of this or whatever. But just you can do anything. What do you do?
The first instinct, I think a spending cap would be pretty interesting if you could somehow impose that, the amount of money that you can invest into your program. I don't know how you enforce
you
that kind of rule. But I think
well, and the bigger problem, of course, is that with like the Citizens United ruling,
exactly.
all those private schools are going to sue you for holding them back or infringing on their right to free speech.
So first of all, I buy a new law, which is popping. I think the best way to do it is kind of, you know, let them beat up on one another. So you put the private schools that want to spend all this money, they already kind of are in the same league, and they can kind of beat each other up, and then you can have a, you know, a private schools league and a public schools different leagues. Obviously, you have to chop it up a little bit, and then you know, they have their own playoff bracket, which would end up being shorter, and you could even have the champions of those brackets play each other at the end of the year, because sometimes, whether it's Poly, whether it's Mission Viejo, a public school is going to be good enough to beat a private school, but to try to expect them to go through all that money and all those juggernauts in a playoff, I think it's tough. And this is something that's been talked about before.
It has.
Having private schools have their own bracket and public schools.
It's
and
starting
I think
to happen
would,
in the Pac-5 right now.
Yeah, and schools would still be outspent. Public schools would still, some of them still have much more money, but the consistency wouldn't be there because not that many public schools can drop as much cash as places like Mission Viejo can.
It's already set up that way. You've got all of these private schools in the Trinity League. You've got private schools in the LA City section gathered together. That's how they set it up.
Well,
so you're almost halfway there at this point.
Well, but
because
the
Pac-5 really just picks the different leagues that they want in their division.
Right. Right, but in the second round of the Pac-5 playoffs, if, you know, Pauly's playing a team that has triple or quadruple their operating budget in football, and that's just
which
the second round, which they did last
which
year.
They yeah. will.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a tough thing.
I think especially for football, Jade, you're absolutely right that football you almost have to look at differently, and it is looked at differently. I mean, you don't have names for the divisions in any other sport. You know, you don't call it the Pac-5 in basketball, you call it Division I. You don't call it the Northeast Division for St. Anthony, you call it Division VI. So I do think it's treated differently. I agree. I mean, I think you've got to bite the bullet, rip the Band-Aid off, and say as long as this disparity exists, it's just not fair. It's not equitable. The only thing you have to do is move the Moore League and the South Coast League out of the Pac-5. Those are the only public school leagues left. And then you do have, okay, Mission Viejo and Tesoro are outspending the Sunset League and the Moore League. But the thing about public schools is that their administrations are different than at a private school. They're going to change. A principal is going to come into Mission Viejo who doesn't like that much money being spent on the football team. There's going to be a new...
they won't last very long.
Right, there'll be a new superintendent of the LBUSD who thinks that, oh, there should be all on-campus coaches in Long Beach. Those things have sort of a natural turnover, whereas you look at modern day, it's been a pretty consistent athletic administration philosophy since the 70s. We haven't had that in Long Beach. You know, we're seeing a major change in that with all these walk-on coaches. So I think separate them. You make a point that you're halfway there. I think you're three-quarters of the way there, actually, because you've even got it set up right now with, you know, they've added this ludicrous 16th game to the schedule with these regional bowl games. Now you win the Pac-5 championship. Then you play a regional bowl game against the next best winner of the next best division. And then the winner of that goes to the state championship game. So I think that second-to-last game should be the best public school versus the best private school.
Now, the reason we're talking about this is because of the recent football rankings, records, scores, overall feeling in Southern California that these private schools are pulling away, right? Why not do football the way that they've officially started doing basketball, where every 3 years they reconfigure which division you're in, well, basically saying which playoff bracket you're in, and then, like you said, take a private, take a public, then play that game between the two champions. I don't know if it's maybe the Pac-5 name that they love, or the different names like the Southwest or Southeast, whatever it is, but if you do football like you do basketball, I only see positives there, because I know Loyola wants to play modern day in the playoffs. I know that, because why wouldn't you?
I think the problem with football is because there's so many bodies and because money can have such a big impact, right? Like basketball, we talk about this. No matter how much money you've got, you only get 5 guys on the court. Mm-hmm. And you can have 50 dudes on your bench, but like it's not like football where you have 100 guys that really changes a program.
Yeah, and yeah, there's just more intangibles and ways to get an advantage in football with more money.
I think with football, because of that, you can see, I mean, look at what happened at Bosco in a year when they started spending money on their football team, right? I think that you see those impacts in sort of larger arcs in football than you do in basketball, where basketball, you get a Kendall Cooper and suddenly St. Anthony's a basketball powerhouse for 4 years, and then she leaves and they're St. Anthony again. You know what I mean? So I do understand some of the hesitancy to move, because I think they've talked about doing that. I know the basketball model of redivisioning every year has been considered as a model to expand to other sports.
Are there any other options?
You know, I think there's certainly the put your head in the sand option, which I sort of feel like is what's... And it is worth saying, by the way, this didn't come up because neither of you guys really proposed anything that I think the CIF couldn't do. The CIF is not the NFL, which people sort of think that it is. Rob Weigott is not Roger Goodell. The CIF is run by the member schools. It's an organizing body for the member schools. So technically, the schools that it's supposed to police, it's not supposed to police, the schools that it is looked to police for transfer violations and these other kinds of things, they run the CIF. They vote on things that the CIF does. They're the ones who propose the rules.
They
the
just
CIF
kind of foster everything through
them
and facilitate everything. They don't really,
right.
They can't just go to a school and really punish them. They have to answer to each and every one of those schools.
Right. So, but I think, and you know, it's worth saying, public schools, there's public schools that'll be really pissed off about being moved out of competing with the private schools. That's why I think you need that regional game to where there is still that level of competition. Then obviously you can still schedule in the preseason if you want.
Right.
I just think you have to say, Pauly, you might want to be in the Pac-5 and play the best against the best, but it's not. We don't think it's what's best for you. It's difficult to do that because the schools obviously can appeal or all these other options. But to me, I think the most important thing is that something be done. Because to me, knowing the lessons that sports is supposed to and have taught inner city kids in Long Beach and other places, I think we're teaching the wrong lesson right now. I really do. The lesson of high school sports is not to go out there and say, well, listen, you're playing as hard as you can, but that team over there's got more money than you, so they're better than you. That's, to me, that's the exact opposite of what high school sports is supposed to teach kids.
Well, and it's so disheartening. You know, you see kids play so hard, and then they just feel like that they lost before they even showed up. You know, and it makes it less about the effort of the kids, the will to win, and the intensity, and more about what did they bring to the field with them. What, you know, how many players, what kind of preparation they could do, the coaching they were able to receive, the number of coaches, the ability of the coaches. So I think when it takes it away from the players and what they could possibly control with their effort and with their intensity, I think it kind of takes away from the purity and the sanctity of high school sports when it's just all about who can outspend someone else. And that's kind of what it's going to right now. It's really what it looks like.
I agree with you. And I you know, you talk to the old successful coaches in Long Beach. Raul Lara has talked about that. Rod Petkovich at Milliken said in a game at Jay Sarah in the playoffs that I covered a couple years ago, this is what I love about sports. You know, I charge my kids $10 a year to be on this team. There's schools within his own league that charge 10 times that. You know, but he's like, I charge these kids, they don't have anything, most of them. Most of them come from more or less nothing. But once the whistle blows, it's 11 guys versus 11 guys on the field. It's just sports at its purest form. I think we're kind of getting away from that right now, and I think it's a shame. So to me, rip the Band-Aid off, separate them. You want to spend $1 million on high school football, go do it with the other people who are crazy or dumb enough to do that, and leave the rest of the sane world to compete for their championships.
Despite what you may have learned by going to the movies and watching Looper, you cannot be in two places at once.
The Looper!
On Friday, you will want to be in two places at once. At Vets, Pauly's going to be taking on Lakewood, and meanwhile, St. Anthony's going to be taking on Salesian in a top 10 battle. But you can follow both games. Get to the Twitter account for Gazette Sports. It is just Gazette Sports, two S's, and you can follow all of the live updates every Friday. Follow us, and you'll be happy. Officially listening to three graduates of Long Beach State. I feel like we need to throw that out there first. But you're also listening to three guys who care a lot about Long Beach sports, and we continually see good, young, local athletes basically get looked over by the local university while everyone else is coming and knocking on their door really, really hard.
Right.
The question is, what's up with Long Beach State and Long Beach recruiting right now?
Can we say the nice thing first?
I think so.
To an extent, the university is battling the athletic department and its teams are battling a public image thing they can't necessarily do anything about. Tyler and I grew up in Long Beach. We both know no one growing up here looks at Cal State Long Beach as like, I hope I can go to school there one day.
Interestingly, you dropped Cal State Long Beach as opposed to Long Beach State.
Right, no one even said Cal State Long Beach. It's just Cal State. No one was like, oh, maybe I can go to Cal State one day. It's like, oh, I didn't get into UCLA? Well, I'll go to Cal State. Right? Mm-hmm. Especially the magnet programs of the local high schools. That's the feeling. So your athletes in your magnet student athletes, you look at a Rebecca Strelo, you look at a Thomas Walker in baseball. They don't want to go to Long Beach State, and that has almost nothing to do with the teams. It's just they want to leave the city, they want to go to a bigger school, and they don't. It's the fallback school for like kids. So to an extent, they're battling that. That's the school's fault or the city's fault or whatever. That's not their fault.
It is the way it is. They're battling the image that it's kind of a school you end up at if you don't quite make it at the preeminent like Pac-12 school.
Absolutely.
And sometimes now keep this in mind for every community. Sometimes kids just want to go experience another city.
Amen.
And you're not going to get those kids.
College experience.
As great as Long Beach is, sometimes people just want to go somewhere not where their parents are.
Thomas Walker is a great example of that. A stud baseball player out of Pauly gets a scholarship offer to Oregon. Long Beach State recruited the hell out of him. I mean, they really went after him. His mom works at Long Beach State. So they really went after Thomas, but they had 0% chance to start with Thomas.
Yeah.
But they did go after him, which I think is the important thing. That's the thing that I really want to talk about is it's almost like those kids are too good for us, so we're not even going to go after them. I mean, the elite basketball players in the city, talking about Rashawn Prince, Jordan Bell at Long Beach Poly.
And now Cameron Chapman,
guys don't have a letter from Dan Munson. And we've talked to family members and coaches over there. It's baffling. I mean, how many track athletes from Long Beach Poly state championship teams have ended up at Long Beach State?
Well,
or LBCC.
Yeah, not really anything coming to mind. Well, and we're at practice or at games over at the RPP, and you know, we use basketball because that's Long Beach State's premier sport right now and where they spend the most money. And obviously, there's been local schools that have been very good.
It's where they're failing the most at recruiting
at
locally.
Basketball. Yeah, but they've done it before. They had Larry Anderson from Jordan.
Yes.
But in recent years, you just
but they got him out
kind
of Massachusetts.
See, Exactly, by way of the Chiefs. So, you know, but you see coaches from Washington, Arizona, even Alabama.
Well, Tyler
has been at the RPP.
Cal State Northridge. I've seen Cal State Northridge
at Poly
way more than I've seen Long Beach State. And we talked about this, you know, I mean, 9 of 12 Pac-12 schools have sent a head coach or an assistant to Poly boys basketball practice this year. To me, for the sake of your image, you can't let that happen.
Right.
It's disrespectful to an extent.
Well, it's like, even if you don't get those kids, at least let the younger guys know, like, oh, Long Beach State's here. They want to compete with the Pac-12 schools. You want to go out and you want to beat UCLA, right?
Right.
So why can't you at least try to recruit with them? Even if you lose, you're saying, I'm going to get in and mix it up, and maybe these kids want to stay in Long Beach. It's a pretty great city.
Well, you could always have a bounce back. The schools that I think have succeeded, you'd have to look at Long Beach State Women's Volleyball. Two of their seven starters are Morley kids. And they went after Megan Moanoa and Rebecca Strelo and the kids that ended up choosing UCLA or the kids that ended up choosing Hawaii. The women's soccer team, Mauricio Ingrassi, I think does a better job of being visible in the city for his program than any other coach at Long Beach State, for sure. And look how many bounce backs he gets from that.
And they say build a fence.
Absolutely.
That's the first step to good recruiting is building a fence around your home. And that's the biggest fence on campus is the Long Beach State women's soccer.
Maybe the only fence. The only where you expect, oh, this is an elite soccer player that Long Beach State has a shot at.
He does a tremendous job, and he's going to get Celeste Dominguez next year.
And a Long Beach guy.
Yeah.
I think you have to say that. He's a Long Beach guy, so he understands
area.
This city. Now, Mike, you just mentioned that you think the biggest, the one failing the most is basketball because of the high quality
Without
talent
question.
Here in the city.
Without question.
I'd almost say that baseball is a bigger dropped ball, per se, because baseball is a national program. You've got a Weaver, you've got a Tulowitzki, you've got a Longoria, where everyone knows.
They don't need to build a brand. They
exactly. Long
yeah.
Beach State produces Major League Baseball players, and let's be honest, of all the collegiate athletics, baseball is the one where if you play college baseball, you are trying to get to the major leagues.
Definitely. And they have that reputation. You know what's funny?
Right.
Maybe the key to this whole thing with the dirtbags is Nick Torres, right? Was it 3 years ago, Nick Torres, more league player of the
Two
year?
2 years ago, yeah.
You know, a pitcher and a hitter, doesn't get an offer from Long Beach State, ends up going to, he's at Cal Poly, right?
He's
Cal
at
Poly,
Cal Poly.
Yeah.
Cal Poly coaches were showing up to Compton baseball games at Lakewood
right.
to watch Nick Torres pitch.
So what happens then? The next year, Shane Watson, obviously Shane Watson, Chase Young both going pro. We kind of knew that when they committed to USC. Shane Watson, this is all off the record stuff. Talk to the family, talk to Shane. Great friends with Nick Torres. They were like 50-50 with USC and Long Beach State. Okay? And they go USC. USC made a better offer to them than Long Beach State, which I think you should never be outbid in terms of percent of scholarship in your city. But
sometimes you
got to
take those chances on your local kids. Yeah.
Shane Watson, you know, local kid. Friends with Nick Torres, that's absolutely a decision swinger right there.
Mm-hmm.
For a kid who, it's not like you're giving a gift scholarship to the More League Player of the Year. To me, the More League Player of the Year in every sport that's a scholarship sport at Long Beach State, that should be an automatic
Shouldn't
offer.
It just be like if you're at one of the local high schools and you're valedictorian, you get that automatic, the president's...
You get the president's scholar.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
If you're the More League Player of the Year in any sport, you should just automatically
you should
get...
the athletic department scholar. Yeah,
build that fence, dude.
Let's take it even a step further. You've got these kids playing in Blair Field twice a week. They know how to play in that stadium. It's not like you're a big bopping team that then has a... small ball team in their backyard. This is the way we play baseball in Long Beach. Get them in. They've been practicing this their whole time.
Yeah.
And then they're just going to... Frankie Rios, recently, is the biggest one, I think.
Didn't have an offer from Long Beach State.
Perfect example of a great kid, smart kid, a kid who wants to go to that upper-level school, but also has those big league aspirations.
Right.
I mean, shortstop you.
Yeah. So, you know, I asked him, I was like, what were the schools that were coming after you the hardest? And he says, USC... UC Irvine, and Cal State Fullerton. That's kind of embarrassing.
Fullerton, get out of my town.
Yeah, but they're, you know, if you open the door to other schools, they're going to absolutely come in. I know someone's going to bring this up. The Long Beach State men's basketball team did recruit a Poly kid, Shelton Boykin, who did not qualify academically. What I've heard off the record from people is that kind of soured them. And I think what we have, especially at Poly and Long Beach State with the basketball right now, is this kind of, Pauly certainly has their feelings hurt, track and basketball, at feeling like, oh, Long Beach State thinks they're too good for us. They won't come to the ghetto. They won't come down Atlantic to come see our kids. Long Beach State has this feeling like, oh, these Pauly kids think they're too good to come to Long Beach State. To me, that misunderstanding you always put on the college, because the high school coaches don't get paid a salary to clear that up. The college coaches right. do. You're supposed to be the ones mending those fences, making sure the relationship is good. But to me, I'm sick of hearing about it. We get the question all the time.
All the time.
I'm sick of writing, oh, Cameron Chapman just got an offer to UCLA. Doesn't have anything from Long Beach State. Doesn't have a letter from Long Beach State. I'm sick of hearing Frankie Rios going to USC. He never heard from Long Beach State. They never went after him seriously.
And like we just said, there's a lot of things working against Long Beach State in this situation. The local recruiting thing.
But the biggest thing is themselves.
And the biggest thing is themselves, and also the biggest thing is one of my favorite sports idioms. No excuses. Go out there, get the job done, change what you need to change. There should be no excuses.
Absolutely.
And keep in mind, these local athletes love being on Gazette Sports videos. And they know that the only way to stay on Gazette Sports videos is to go to Long Beach State. So, boom, it's a built-in recruiting tool. Obviously, no affiliation there to do any type of recruiting. But I'm saying it's a thing, and you're not taking advantage of it. What in the wide world of sports is going on? Keep the Long Beach kids in Long Beach.
You have got to subscribe to Sports Night right now. Get to your iTunes, top right-hand corner, search Sports Night, one word, and it will automatically download to your computer each and every week. It's magic. Our final headline of the week was kind of a discussion that we had a few nights ago. We were up...
A few mornings ago.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We were up early, and I don't mean up you early as in we woke up, as in we just stayed up all night.
I was a slut.
working on some football coverage, and we were waiting for a soccer game to start, and we started talking about the NFL coaches and how each one had a very distinct personality. Much like the local high school football teams and also the one college football team, where they are in a certain neighborhood, and like we always say, Long Beach is one big city with seven small towns inside of it. So what NFL football coach would be the best fit for each football team in Long Beach? And that's not to say that like, oh, well, obviously every single one because NFL football coaches football coaches. Right. No, specifically, what do you think each program would get the most out of each NFL coach?
Like a personality fit. Yeah.
And I'm gonna host this a little bit because I was asleep through this conversation. I'm gonna be honest, guys. When I woke up, when you guys were trying to explain this to me, it definitely sounded like a conversation you two had at 4 a.m. Because it's like I was like, oh, so like who would be the best coach to put in there? It was like, no, like a total fit for like the kind of kids and the culture. And I was like,
it makes sense when you're tired.
It was 4 a.m. So you guys definitely hashed it out. I was very impressed by the extent to which you'd worked these things out in your head. So should we go alphabetical? We started off with Cabrillo?
Yeah, I like that. Cabrillo, yeah, sure. On the west side. I've always looked at Cabrillo as a school that has a lot of potential, but they need a rallying cry. They need like one guy to come in that is about one thing. And I think a good example of that in the NFL is Jim Schwartz and the Lions. Detroit
Lions, Tigers, and Jaguars
were fresh off an 0-16 season. And somehow Jim Schwartz went in there and turned them around specifically by making them basically badasses and turning them on the NFC North specifically. That was his thing, was we need to win the NFC North. Forget about everything else, win that thing. I think if he would go to Cabrillo, he would be a good fit there because he would be about, I mean, maybe it would be Pauly or maybe it would be Jordan. It doesn't matter, but they need to have a thing there. And I think Schwartz would be a perfect fit.
I respect that. That's a good call. And keep in mind, we're not telling current coaches that we don't like them or anything. This is just all hypothetical.
I think Jason Brown would understand that Jim Schwartz could take his job anytime he wants to.
I mean, that's respect. That's respect. He'd probably love to be Schwartz's OC.
Yeah, they wouldn't give him an on-campus job, though. No, that's impossible.
couldn't find it. But for me, for Cabrillo, I think since it's such a young program, they kind of need a builder, a guy that can go in with some veteran swag and kind of draw in kids and build the program a little bit and add a legacy quickly and then not necessarily stay forever, but kind of build up that reputation reputation so they don't feel like the little brother anymore. And I think Bill Parcells would be perfect at that. I know he's not currently coaching, but as a realm of NFL coaches,
I
think the Big Tuna would fit in quite nicely.
I think
over there.
That was why I thought Pete Carroll would be the best fit at Cabrillo. That it was like a guy who could come in. You're right. They have the resources. They're just not being used. They have these huge fields. They have all this other stuff. Brand new campus. But obviously, Cabrillo more than happy to get any of those three options.
Yeah, but
campus.
The problem is they just can't afford to have those wins vacated in 2 years.
That's tough.
Buzzing.
So, moving on to Compton has vacated their head coaching position 4 times in the last 2 years. They are got a regular coaching carousel over there. Who do you guys think would be the best next NFL coach to step onto the Compton campus?
Well, I think you look at Compton as a school that has some strong history, but they've also have kind of this reputation of, you know, a team that doesn't quite make it, doesn't quite get it done, and they kind of have been the butt of a joke.
They struggle organizationally.
Right, whether fairly or unfairly. And I think a guy that's really gone into an NFL team and sort of changed the negative stereotype and the feelings about that team is Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati. You know, a team that everybody made fun of and called the Bungles and all that kind of stuff. But they are a hard-nosed, hard-fighting team, and they've really done a good job turning that around and being a consistent playoff contender. You don't look at them like, oh, the Bengals could win the Super Bowl. But he's done a really...
But they compete.
And
they didn't
steady,
used to do that.
And they're steady. They keep it around 500. They play well in their division. They play well. They've limited their penalties and things like that. And so I think as a stabilizer for Compton football, which is really what they're looking for, Marvin Lewis fits that script.
I like that. I don't think we're shocking anybody by saying that I think Compton would be best with a strong black man at the helm, a guy who is in the community,
right,
building the community support as one of the community. And I also think that you're speaking very specifically to one team and that coach, but I think pedigree has a lot to do with succeeding at Compton.
Right.
You look at Calvin Bryant, who comes in, he was very successful before Compton, but he was successful at multiple teams. I look at a guy like Romeo Crennel. I think Romeo Crennel would fit perfectly at Compton because he is that strong presence, he does have that pedigree, and he's a vet. He is a true vet. And if you don't listen to Romeo Crennel, I mean, who are you going to listen to?
Yeah, absolutely. That's tough. I'm going to marginally... I think earlier sided with JJ, but Tyler kind of convinced me of the benefits of Marvin Lewis just while we were doing that. So moving...
Marvin Lewis.
Moving up the alphabetical ladder here to Jordan, who do you guys want to see on Northtown?
This is perfect, because we both
in agreement about Jordan, yeah.
Well, we both thought of the answer almost simultaneously, and we just looked at each other,
yeah,
and we both said, like, sunglasses...
Uh-huh.
Prowling the sidelines.
Yeah, he's looking like a Panther over there with that prowl, that scowl. Yeah.
I mean, Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin.
All right, moving
strong,
on.
Strong defense,
yeah, yeah,
strong defensive coach.
Yeah, toughness.
Just dripping swagoo all over the place.
Yeah.
And the guy who's really, like I said, with the community thing over at Compton, I mean, Mike Tomlin can rally the troops.
Yeah.
Remember Rashad Mendenhall was going to sit out a week and then he was going to come back for Monday Night Football against the Ravens? And Tomlin simply said in his press conference, I mean, that's Monday Night Football against the Baltimore Ravens. What more do you want?
Yeah, I think Mike Tomlin...
That's so perfect.
Mike Tomlin would just walk around the North Side intimidating fans into going
to
games.
I think no more needs to be said about that. We don't need to just agree with each other for a half hour as we could about that pick. Moving on to Lakewood, I think you guys are both nuts for your pick on Lakewood, but go ahead. You couldn't be more wrong.
We were laughing so hard before we picked this one. We didn't know that
we both had the same pick at Lakewood.
Uh-huh. What about Rex Ryan?
Mike hates it. Rex Ryan
in the wood.
It never worked.
Mike, obviously, another plug for Mike's book, The History of Football in Long Beach. Mike wrote that the Lancers are everyone's rival, right?
Rex Ryan is
Who is more
rival?
Perfect to lead that charge to be the guy that everybody wants to hate than Rex Ryan? Because everybody hates Rex Ryan already.
The Red Swarm. He loves the Red Swarm defense, that style of, you know, forcing turnovers, blitzing a lot, and that's what they're really about. I think it would fit in that aspect as well. And I just think his attitude of just saying, forget everybody else.
Mouth of a sailor.
They don't want that. Trust me. I think Rex Ryan is the perfect defensive coordinator at Lakewood.
But they want don't they want to win? If he comes in and makes it to two and beats the Patriots, aka Polly, and gets to some championship games, you don't think that they would say, all right, we can deal
with
it.
But here's my thing. You look at Thad McNeil, right? I think Thad McNeil, we certainly heard from the Lakewood community, was a little bit out there for some people at Lakewood. And Thad's a straight lay. He is not Rex Ryan, okay? He's not in the newspaper saying, yeah, I'm not here to kiss Polly's rings, okay? He's not that guy. So to me, I think they want someone more like John Ford, who they named their stadium after, more of a Tom Landry type. I'm obviously not suggesting we get Tom Landry in there, although that would be fantastic.
That would be phenomenal.
I would not mind that. I think a guy like a Tom Coughlin, who has that sort of conservative, hard edge to him, I think that's more of a fit for Lakewood. I do see where you guys are coming from.
The Lancers
from.
Would be better for Rex Ryan, even if the boosters don't like him. I just envision, you know how they do the smoke up in between the stands at John Ford, and they come out of it for the playoffs? I just envision Rex Ryan coming out in that little sweater vest. Here come the bleeping Lancers.
Yeah. I love it. I don't think they know that they want it yet. It's opposites attract, you know.
All right, moving on. It's definitely two very different visions of a Lakewood football team, I think, we're putting out there. Now, this is, I think, probably the hardest one. The Milliken Rams have not been competitive for a couple years here, and they're really looking for an identity. So this is somewhere where I think you really could go a lot of different ways with this.
Well, you just mentioned it, Mike, and I'll take that answer and move it over. Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin fits perfectly with that group because he does build. He does have a straight-laced, this is the way we're going to do things. Milliken's not obviously just beating back transfers who are trying to get to that football program, so he's going to make the best of what he's got. Again, I look at what he did with the team that he's on, much like Jim Schwartz and the Lions. Look at where the Giants are right now with Tom Coughlin, and they didn't like him at first. Remember, they hated Tom Coughlin
at first. Can't get rid of
that
guy. Can't get rid of that
guy. What Al Michaels says every time they do a Giants game, from the hot seat to the Hall of Fame.
Right, and every time they want to fire Tom Coughlin, he comes back stronger, and then he just stays with that program. So every time the Milliken fans get riled up and want a new coach, he'll be like, nah, I'm going to stay, I'm going to hang on, and you're going to be happy about it, and that'll be the case.
Well, see, and that's why I thought the perfect one for Milliken to me is one that you mentioned earlier, Tyler, Bill Parcells. Because Milliken is a team who needs an immediate, huge turnaround. Uh-huh. Okay, they have not won many football games in the last 2 years, obviously, as we've discussed on this show before. But to me, Bill Parcells is a dude who can come in, take what he's got, and immediately turn it around, much like you're talking about with Tom Coughlin. But I think it's worth noting, Milliken has a proud history there. I mean, the pieces are there. I think they're looking for that quick turnaround to excite those people, because they've won two CIF championships. Other than Polly, I mean, Wilson, you know, Jordan, these teams haven't won a CIF championship. Milliken's won two. I think they want a guy to immediately come in and make them feel like they're a part of that again.
That's so funny. You guys both mentioned Parcells, but for totally different reasons. You said he would come in and win, and Tyler said he would be a builder. I mean, bring the tuna back anywhere.
No doubt.
Tuna is fantastic for the NFL.
Moving on to maybe the only one easier than Jordan, Long Beach Poly. A Niners fan, so I'm going to go ahead and lead this off. I mean, Jim Harbaugh.
It took us 2 seconds to say it.
Go ahead, Tyler, who do you pick?
Oh, it's obviously Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, JJ, who do you pick?
Obviously Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, so moving on to Wilson.
Yeah, and enjoy those championships, Polly, because Jim Harbaugh is going to ball out with that.
Tyler and I were like, we don't even have to ask Mike his answer. No. We already know.
So they were both tickled pink when I picked Jim Harbaugh. So moving on to Wilson, another kind of a difficult one, because who is the Wilson football team? Who have they been?
And they're kind of searching for that. And I think a team that, or a guy rather, that would have the kind of attention to detail, that would come in and have a strong, you know, running game and take advantage of the simple, old school type of football, I think is a guy, John Fox, who would come in there and be a good figurehead for the Wilson program and try to give them some kind of identity.
Yeah, we definitely agreed on that one, mainly because of the simplified offense, the power game. But even on top of that, on the other side of the ball, you need a good defense to win in the Moore League. And more specifically, you need a good defense to beat Pauley. And Wilson needs to beat Pauley. If they want a football program, if they want to step that game up collectively, it needs to happen. It may take decades, but they need to get there. That will be the high water mark. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you want to beat Pauley, you need a good defense. I think the best guy to do that defensive rebuilding and reshuffling of a program would be John Fox. I don't think he gets enough credit for the Tim Tebow success last year. I think Tim Tebow gets about 5% of that credit, and the other 95% should go to John Fox.
And that's enough talking about Tim Tebow. Let's go to LBCC.
I'm going to go with Mike McCarthy. Long Beach State alum gets the credit, offensive coordinator to the Broncos. I'm going to bypass John Fox.
Interesting.
Give it to a Long Beach guy. Okay. So, Wilson, you're in agreement there?
Yeah.
I have no objection. I don't really think you could pick I don't know that you could pick someone who could manage the Wilson politics necessarily perfectly. So, I think I'll roll with that one, too. So, we've got St. Anthony and LBCC left.
Uh-huh.
Quick hits, thoughts?
Well, the Saints. So.
Well, for Tyler, I'm going to say get a Saints coach to go coach the Saints, and that's Sean Payton.
That's Occam's razor right there.
I'm saying, it just fits.
Love it.
It just fits.
I'll endorse that. I like
this
that.
This Saints team is very good. They've got a very good offense. But more specifically, They are a hardest hitting Saints team I've covered since we started this thing about 5 years ago. They are physical on defense. And the perfect coach to do that, I think, is John Harbaugh. I mean, those Ravens defense is that program.
Plus,
is that team.
He already wears purple, so it makes perfect sense.
Those are two good ones. LBCC, total toss-up.
I mean, this is one where you need a guy that doesn't care to, you know, get his hands dirty and ruffle things up and inspire some kids and maybe get some interesting transfers. I'm going to go with Pete Carroll.
No, definitely Pete Carroll. You said it earlier about, you know, like somebody who to really flip things around immediately. I think Pete Carroll would be a perfect fit.
Now, see,
and the JUCO football scene right now, we talked about it last week concerning LBCC. I think every problem we talked about last week could be handled by a guy like
Yeah, you want to
like
get to the next level, and
no,
getting to
see,
the next level has kind of been synonymous with Pete Carroll.
But to me, Pete Carroll is the exact example of a guy who wouldn't go there, because they're facing a lot of struggles right now. They're facing budgetary struggles.
Yeah,
they're,
but it's a perfect
but
world,
Pete
Mike.
Carroll, to me, is the turn tail and run at the first sign of those kind of problems guy. To me. He's the kind of guy who's like, oh, they might cut our funding? Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, so who sticks it out at LBCC then?
Oh, it's really tough.
I'll see who wasn't even ready.
I'm going to go. I actually hadn't really particularly thought it through. I'm going to go with a guy who would be a fan of the history there, a fan of the X's and O's history that the pistol formation was invented at LBCC, likes his football history.
Tony Sperano?
I'm going to go with Bill Belichick.
Oh my.
My goodness.
I mean, you just pick like
we can't do 9 football teams and not have the best coach in football on it.
Congratulations, LBCC. You just made sure that we don't cover your games anymore, because no one wants to talk to Bill Belichick after your games. Although you'll probably win.
That's 10 minutes we'll never get back.
Competent media loves talking to Bill Belichick. It's just there's not very much of that in the NFL, as you both know.
Hey, we want your thoughts on what we just talked about. Leave it at the comment section below this story or any story at GazetteSports.com. We might just read it on this show. So we were officially reloaded on this episode of Sports Night, and unequivocally, shots fired.
Yeah, sorry for going a little bit long, but we just had too much ammunition in the barrel to not empty the chamber, as Kobe Bryant likes to say.
It was a controversial show. I like that. And people need to know that they can leave their comments on this story, the Sports Night story, or any story on GazetteSports.com to let their thoughts be known. Because we've got the microphone. It's hot.
Yeah, I hope
you also have a microphone out there, Long Beach.
I hope the feathers were ruffled this episode.
I hope not, actually, to be honest with you. I think everything we said is completely defensible common sense. Thanks again to the sponsors of that defensible common sense, Naples Rib Company, McCarty's Jewelry, Los Alamitos Cardiovascular, obviously Agent Care Jones at State Farm. Welcome to the sponsors list, and Powerhouse Fitness Long Beach. First class free on them if you go click on their ad. My apologies to Broncos offensive coordinator and former Long Beach State 49er, Mike McCoy, whose name I messed up. Go buy my book, and you'll see it's spelled correctly in there.
We need Tony Reale at the end of this show. Gives a little errors and omissions.
Shh. I need a paper toss.
We have got a huge week of football coming up here in Long Beach, and Long Beach State's women's soccer and volleyball teams are going to be in the city after a week off last week. So, get out. We'll see you in the stands this weekend. Obviously, for everybody at GazetteSports.com, this show, Sports Night, and the Gazette newspapers, thank you. For Mike, for Tyler, for JJ.
You're JJ.
For everybody in Long Beach, we'll see you in the stands this weekend, guys. Take care.